Thank you, Lori. Good morning, everyone. So good to see you all on this very cool Sunday morning. And I pray that each of us will have the personal visit from the Holy Spirit and from our Lord through our worshiping Him this morning. And especially we will hear the messages that we all need to hear from God. A well-dressed man waited in front of a Brooklyn apartment. Surrounding him were a dozen pieces of luggage. Eventually, a taxi came along. The driver placed the luggage neatly inside. He started to drive to the docks without hitting a bump. The passenger was very impressed by the gentleness of the ride and said, "As you can see, I'm taking a cruise and we'll see every major port in the world. In each port, I'll have to hail a taxi. I was thinking, perhaps you'd like to come along. I don't care about the cost." "That could run into a fortune." "I told you, I don't care. Naturally, I'll also pay all of your expenses." The cabbie pondered the offer and decided to take it up. When they arrived at the Manhattan dock, the cab was loaded into the ocean liner. The gentleman made all the necessary arrangements. 2 hours later, they were on the way. For 6 months, they traveled the world. Dutifully, in each city, the cabbie and his cab debarked, drove the passenger around, returned, and then went aboard again. The trip ended. They arrived in Manhattan at 10 in the evening. The cabbie had left the meter running still, as was agreed upon, and it read 42,653. True to his word, the passenger wrote out a check, which included a handsome tip. Then he said, "Now take me home to Brooklyn." The cabbie said, "Brooklyn at night? Forget it. I always have to come back to Manhattan empty." The cab driver enjoyed 6 months of great time traveling worldwide and was fully compensated for the entire duration with a substantial tip. But he outrageously refused to show a little kindness to his extremely generous patron to drive a mere 10 miles. What was the driver's rationale behind it? A double standard. He welcomes the generosity given to him, but refuses to show even to the one who was so kind and gracious. And also, misapplication of fairness. It was somehow fair for the driver to enjoy the cruise and be paid at the same time, but was not fair to suffer a little loss for his exceedingly benevolent patron. Now, something similar to this joke, or even worse, happened in the Bible. Where in the Bible? In the book of Jonah. You might not have read it that way, but let's look at the story with these lenses. The book of Jonah began with God telling him to go to Nineveh and preach the imminent judgment from God because of his sinfulness. That's book of Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. And the chapter 1, verse 2, rapidly moves to Jonah's reaction to run from God. I mean, how rapid that is. This breakneck development reflects how much Jonah disliked God's command to him. Not everyone would obey God when they hear God's command. Some choose to take time and ask God for clarification. But only very few would adamantly oppose as Jonah did. Between the first and second verses of the first chapter, Jonah did not say yay or nay or make any excuses. The absence of these kinds of responses indicates that Jonah did not need a second thought on his next move of immediate rebellion. We can speculate several reasons why Jonah did not hesitate to disobey God's command. According to 2 Kings 14:25, Jonah was active during King Jeroboam II, who ruled the northern kingdom of Israel from 786 to 746 BC. Israel enjoyed a peaceful time under Jeroboam. The Assyria did not yet invade the northern kingdom, but Jeroboam was trying to expand Israel's territory. So a giant neighboring country of Assyria would not have been viewed as a friend. The spiritual well-being of the heathen in Nineveh, the capital city of Assyria, might not have been concerned for Jonah. Now, how much Jonah hated God's call to go to Nineveh? If Jonah disliked going to Nineveh, simply say no and don't go there. That's all he had to do. But he wanted to be more proactive to disobey and decided to run from God, not just a few dozen miles, but 2,500 miles in the Mediterranean. Now, why is it 2,500 miles? He went down to Joppa after God told him to go to Nineveh, right? Joppa was at the eastern tip of the Mediterranean Sea, and Tarshish is at the western tip of the Mediterranean, right at the Strait of Gibraltar, right? That's 2,500 miles. Nine kinds of wind blow over the Mediterranean Sea. Sailors take advantage of each wind to travel in different directions during the year. Levante is an easterly wind that blows from the eastern corner to the far west of the sea. It reaches gale force in spring and autumn, but usually gives a moderate and steady breeze during the summer. Book of Jonah provides clues about Jonah's season of travel, like the sailor's surprise at the storm, because it didn't usually, during the summer, they didn't usually see the storm. Plants' quick growth, Jonah's shade enjoyment, the rapid plant dying under the scorching east wind and blazing sun. All those hints point to the summer. Presumably, many ships traveled westward from Joppa, the eastern tip of the Mediterranean, to Tarshish, the western tip of the Mediterranean, during the summer. And Jonah was an intelligent individual. He figured it out in advance that it would be a peaceful escape. The wind blew perfectly to take him to the farthest western corner of the Mediterranean. So considering all those, even though Book of Jonah doesn't say it, considering all those, what does it say to us? Jonah's going aboard the ship, headed to Tarshish, reveals Jonah's calculated and determined disobedience against God's call. It wasn't like, you know, casual, oh no, I don't want to do that, or I might do it later on. He calculated how to disobey God. It was a very serious offense. So, what did God do? God responded with a violent storm, which was completely unexpected during the time of the year. Jonah tried to ignore it at first, but faced inescapable God's wrath. So he confesses sin and volunteers to be thrown into the raging sea. But God was merciful and gave Jonah a second chance after a serious offense against God. Hearing the message of God's judgment from Jonah, the Ninevites repented, and God changed his plan to punish them. Yet to Jonah, what God did was very wrong, and he became angry. It was not fair for Jonah to have gone through the raging sea, the pitch black of the and terrifying fish, and much discomfort of traveling just for the salvation of Gentiles. Jonah had hopes and dreams, but his life did not run the way he planned. He somehow thought that the Ninevites would not be saved. It wasn't fair that they were saved. It wasn't fair that Jonah went through so much pain for the undeserving Gentiles. I mean, think about us. Was there any moment that we felt like life isn't fair? And there are many out there who says that life isn't fair. Someone said this, life is not always fair. Some people are born into a better environment. Some people have better genetics. Some are in the right place at the right time. Bill Gates once said this, life isn't fair, get used to it. I mean, Bill Gates, what does that mean, Bill? Did you mean that people should not expect to be rich like you? Of course, not everyone would become like he is, but it's not fair for him to say that. How do we define our life? Is our life fair or unfair? For an answer, let's look at Jonah's life with the objectivity, right? Jonah committed a crime of disobedience, not just a casual one, but a very, very serious one, which imperiled many innocent lives. Considering fairness, Jonah deserved severe punishment or even death, but God was so gracious as he repented his sins. Now, did Jonah not know God's grace? Of course he did. But the problem was, it was perfectly okay for God to be generous to Jonah, but not to the Gentiles. In other words, Jonah had a double standard. Jonah did not labor to grow the plant that provided shade for him. The plant was a perfect example of God's free gifts of grace for everyone. God treated Jonah and the Ninevites equally and with grace. But Jonah didn't appreciate God's grace and became mad when Ninevites received it. If God had dealt with fairness, John Newton, who wrote The Amazing Grace, could never have experienced God's amazing grace. As he wrote in the hymn, he was a wretched sinner. At the age of 18, he served the Royal Navy. He tried to desert it and was captured and punished. After being humiliated, he contemplated murdering the captain and committing suicide. He once worked for a slave trader whose black wife treated him like an enslaved black person. He was rescued by another white slave trader. On the voyage back to England, he had a conversion experience, but continued to make a living by slave trading for about 6 years. He even wrote in his journal that he was thankful for being led into an easy, credible way of life as a slave trader. And many during the time understood the slave trading the way that John Newton did. Even though he had good intentions and showed kindness to the slaves, what would have happened to all the slaves he transported and invested for profit? Serving God as a minister later and as an abolitionist later would not have been enough recompense for the pain he caused for so many slaves. Newton had been through many dangers and should not have been saved because of his past sin. But God's amazing grace appeared to him. To answer the question, is our life fair? We should not use our own criteria or a double standard, but God's grace. We have made many mistakes and blunders along the way, as Jonah did, and should have had to suffer damaging consequences. But amazing grace has brought us this far, and the same grace will lead us on. So let's look at our life without any bias whatsoever. We can all say that our life has been more than fair. For God has been so gracious to each and every one of us worshiping this morning. No matter what we think, you know, you may have had all the right reasons to say, "Oh, God, you have not been fair to me." No matter what we think, our life couldn't be better. In all fairness, we have lived a blessed life, all because of God's amazing grace. Amen.